Brianna and Mary Margaret were supposed to do the liturgical dance to that, but they chickened out. You may not realize it, but the Bible begins with a baseball term. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You may not realize it, but there's a reference to tennis. It explains why David and Saul were at each other's throats. David played in King Saul's court. There's a reference to wrestling, where Jacob and the angel wrestled all night by the river. There's a reference to track in the Gospel of John, where the beloved disciple outruns Peter to the empty tomb, the first Easter fun run. And then there is the Olympic image that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians. Every runner competes, they exercise self-control for a perishable prize, but we compete for an imperishable prize. I do not box aimlessly, but I train my body that I might be worthy of the gospel I serve. This morning we talk about an aspect of life that infuses all life, competition. Whether on the ball field, or in the boardroom, or on the playground, or even on the streets driving, we're always competing. How do our values, how does our faith inform our behavior in the heat of competition? I learned at a very early age that many people's values and behavior is not really shaped by what they say they believe. My father was one of the finest basketball refs in Birmingham, always in demand, and every now and then I would go with him to work the clock or the scoreboard. And one day he was refereeing a game between two steel mill towns in Birmingham, and he said, "I have to call this tight or it will be very rough." Well, sure enough, he called it tight. They didn't adjust. One team fouled out down to three players. One team fouled out down to five. And long before I saw Bobby Knight do it, I saw a coach at that game throw a chair on the floor. I heard a parent threaten to kill my dad. All I wanted to do was get out of there alive. We got out to our car, and someone had broken the antenna off our car. And this was a church league game. It was a game of older royal ambassadors, and I knew very well the royal ambassador pledge. As a royal ambassador, I will do my best to become a well-informed, responsible follower of Christ, to have a Christ-like concern for all people. The difference between the stated ethic and the actual behavior was enormous, and I realized some people's faith doesn't really inform how they compete. Now, I am not going to say to you, become a better sport, a better athlete, you'll become more faithful. In fact, I'm going to say the opposite. It's when you deepen your spirit, it's when you become more mature in faith, that your sportsmanship grows and matures, your faith deepens. As your faith deepens, your demeanor in the heat of competition changes if it's real and genuine. Now, I'll admit to you, I have not always practiced the ethic that I'm articulating to you this day. Some years ago, I coached, when I was in seminary training for the ministry, I coached a co-ed team. They were small, but they were slow. And we were getting our usual beating, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I had three kids on my bench, and so I said to the young lady next to me, I said, "The next time they run by, you get out on the court with them." She looked at me, I said, "Just do it." So our six guys were beginning to confuse their man-to-man. And the next time they ran by, I said to the kid next to me, I said, "Go ahead and join her." So by now we were beginning to make a little bit of a comeback, 7-5, and I just had one player left on my bench. I thought, he's got just as much right to play as anybody else. So I said, "The next time they run by, you hop out there too." And for about 2 minutes, we got away with 8-on-5. And then somebody said, how many guys they got? I said, time out. Tried to gather them, but they gave me a technical anyway. My point is, no matter how genuine our faith, sometime in the midst of competition, we let our desire to win overcome our ethics and ideals. But that should not be. That should not be. If our faith is genuine, it should shape how we behave in the midst of competition. And so this morning, I offer you 10 commandments for the Christian competitor. The first of these, Ethan read. Paul said, work heartily in all that you say and do as one who is receiving an inheritance from the Lord. Or as I translate it, thou shalt hustle. Hustle. Hustle is the one variable in any competition. It's the one thing that can equalize talent. When you come off the court, when you come off the field, when you come out of the classroom, can you answer the question positively? I have done my very best. I have worked heartily in all that I say and do as one who receives an inheritance from the Lord. As we work in the church, can we look at our faith and say, I am giving everything I have. I'm committing all that I am. Thou shalt hustle. Some of you baseball fans out there would recognize the name of George Brett, Hall of Famer. Before his last game, a sportscaster asked him, what do you want to do in your last at-bat, hit a home run? No, he said. I want to hit a weak grounder to second and run as fast as I can to first. Hustle. Whatever else you do, do your best. Whether it's in faith or games or classroom or study, do your best. Work heartily. Hustle. Commandment 2, thou shalt obey the rules. That sounds very simple. But as I've already said in my story, it's not always easy to keep the rules. And the truth is, in our culture today, everybody repeats the mantra of the Oakland Raiders. Just win, baby. Just win. But that's an ethic that's wrong. It's shallow. It says that what's the end is more important than how you get there. Obey the rules of the game. Open up the sports pages. What do you read? Blood doping, steroid scandals, recruiting violations. People are trying to find an advantage that they may win, but that's a hollow victory for hollow souls. Some of you older people out there remember the name of Leo Durocher. You remember his famous statement? Nice guys finish last. He's wrong. It's an empty statement from an empty soul. It's values, results over ethic. It matters how you reach the end. Obey the rules, not just the rules, but the spirit of the rules. A couple of years ago, women's softball game, young woman hit a home run but hurt her knee on the way to first base. Do you remember what happened? The opposing team picked her up and carried her around the bases so she could touch each one. An act of sportsmanship that will long be remember, thou shalt hustle, thou shalt obey the rules, and thou shalt relish the competing as much as the winning. Relish the competing as much as the winning, because when you do that, you can win even when you lose. I ran high-level track for 17 years. And one of the races I remember most was against the defending NCAA champion, running a 600-yard race, and the two of us were neck and neck coming down the last 50 yards of the race. Problem was, he had Olympic talent and I did not. I didn't lose the race. He beat me by a hair. But I learned more in losing about my capabilities than I did in many a victory. The score is just one objective measurement of a game. When you relish the competing as much as the winning, you can win even when you lose. Commandment 4, thou shalt accept the breaks. Y'all know what the breaks are. They're those quirky things that happen in every game. Happen in life too. The crazy thing is, my friends, injustice does not bother us. Injustice does not bother us. When our golf drive hits a tree and goes in the fairway, we don't complain. When our bloop single falls past the infielder's glove, we're okay with that. When the ref calls a foul on somebody that didn't foul us, we don't complain. But let the other things happen. When things leave us better off than we deserve, we don't say anything. But when they leave us worse off than we think we should be, that's when we complain. Accept the breaks. Have the spiritual equanimity to accept good and bad. And know this, over the long haul, the breaks even out. 5, 6, and 7 commandments, the thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not brood. Thou shalt not blame. Thou shalt not gloat. Don't brood. I used to play high-level softball. My wife, Melissa, hated it because every time we lost, every husband, every boyfriend would complain to their beloved about how their era was the one that cost the team the game. We would all go off and brood. And brooders are bad, but worse than brooders are pouters. Pouters. When you've won the game, it's pretty easy to walk across that court and stick out that hand and say, great game, good game. But when you've lost, the real test of character is to walk across that court and smile and stick out your hand and say, great game, great game. Don't brood. Don't pout. And don't blame. Blamers are the worst, whether it's in your industry, whether it's in your classroom, or it's on your team. I used to coach basketball a long time. You'd have kids, we lost a game. Oh, it's because so-and-so took a bad shot. They wouldn't think about the 16 bad shots and turnovers they made. No, they just think about the one somebody else did. Blamers are simply showing their own insecurity. When you lose, lose with grace. Best thing I ever heard a loser say, a friend of mine was trying to wrestle a chimpanzee for 3 minutes so he could get $150 when we were in college. He spent 1 minute in the cage of that chimpanzee and 50 seconds was trying to get out. And when he got out, bruised and bloody, he said this immortal line, boys, that rascal grabbed me with one hand and he beat me with the other three. Now that's a loser who could lose with grace. Don't brood, don't pout, don't blame, and don't gloat. Young people, I want you to go home sometime and watch some classic ESPN because you're going to be amazed. From the 50s and 60s, you're going to find that people could score a touchdown without doing their version of the Rockettes along the way. You're going to find somebody could make a tackle without beating on their chest like Tarzan. You're going to find somebody could score a goal without asking the crowd to shower them with adulation. Gloating is the exact opposite of good sportsmanship. Gloating is trying to humiliate your opponent. And that's the exact opposite of what we're trying to do. Win with grace, lose with grace, but sometimes your insecurities can come out more when you win than when you lose. Don't gloat. 8. thou shalt be large enough of spirit to apologize. Whether you're in the classroom or on the court, or on the ball field or anywhere, sometimes in the heat of battle we say things, we do things that we regret. By the way, where's Kyle? He ought to hear this. We say things and we do things that we know are against our true character. My father, as I say, was a highly prized referee, and when somebody was a jerk throughout the game, it made him feel pretty good when that jerk would come and say, "I was out of line. I apologize. I let my values get out of focus." It did my father good, but it did more good to the person who summoned the fortitude. Summoned the fortitude to say I was wrong. Listen to me carefully. Every young person, every church I've ever pastored has heard me say this 100 times. Competition, athletics, does not build character. Athletics and competition reveal character. Reveal character. How you compete in the heat of battle reveals who you truly are, regardless of what you say you are. Read across a story some years ago. Little League game, bases loaded. Tie ball game, ground ball hit to the shortstop. He tags the runner out. Ump calls him out. And the shortstop goes to the ump and says, "Mr. Ump, I missed him." Ump reversed the call. Game lost. 2 weeks later, same situation. Same kid. Same grounder. Ball is hit to him. Ump says he misses him and calls him safe. Shortstop says, "Mr. Ump, I got him that time." He reversed the call. The opposing manager comes storming out of the dugout. He says, "Just go back in. This kid has already proved to me his character." Competition does not build character, but it sure does reveal it. How you conduct yourself in the heat of competition tells who you really are, what values really matter. Finally, you represent more than you know. When you wear those campus club jerseys, you don't just represent yourself, you represent that entire institution and everyone connected with it. Our Lord uses athletic terms to describe our faith. He says we're meant to win the world. And we are ambassadors for Christ. When you are on the court amidst competition, you are an ambassador for Campus Club or whatever your team might be, but you're also an ambassador for Christ. And your ultimate purpose on this earth is to win people to Christ's kingdom. Hustle. Live within the rules. Don't brood. Don't pout. Don't blame. Don't gloat. Remember that your competition reveals your character. But most of all, know you are an ambassador for Christ. And that's why we compete, because we compete to the glory of God who gave us the ability to do it. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, we have all fallen short of the ideal, but you don't give up on us. You keep calling us to faith. May we continue to grow. May we continue to learn, may we continue to progress, that we might truly be your ambassadors and win your prize, the imperishable prize of fellowship with Jesus Christ. In the name of that Christ we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit